96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Tuesday, November 5th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. There's a poem most people say on November 5th. Remember the 5th of November? Do you know the poem, Erin? No.
Yeah, I remember the poem, but I like to re-remember it.
The Guy Fawkes poem.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
See, because y'all remember it like Guy Fawkes. Like, was a loser, like a bad guy.
Guy Fawkes was not a loser, a bad guy.
I mean, I don't think he was. I don't know if he's a bad guy.
Tried to burn down Parliament.
You tried to burn down Parliament.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. See, that's I'm just saying. I don't know if that. Because, watch this. Bishop Sam Green trying to burn down Parliament, right? And then I had a whole conversation with him afterwards. And it turns out he's a good guy, right? So, like, I just saying, maybe Guy Fawkes was a good guy, too.
We're joined in studio today by Kimberly Kutskalis, who is the director of Blairwood Academy. Is it Blairwood Academy or Blairwood School?
Blairwood Academy.
Blairwood Academy. Who's also a parent coach and behavioral, pronounce that word again.
Behavioral therapist.
Thanks very much, therapist. And she's joining us for the conversation, but I'll have her say what she's here for later on. But I see she joined in reference to Guy Fawkes.
Yes.
And so what do you know about Guy Fawkes?
I know that he was going to burn down Parliament. They mm-hmm. got him. They burnt him at the stake, yes, or whatever. And now every year on November 5th, mm-hmm. remember the 5th of November?
Yeah.
We celebrate burning bad guys at the stake.
See, yeah, but here's the thing. Who said he was a bad guy? See?
Historians, you're right.
See? I know one, but he have the same situation in life.
Uh-huh.
The Hamburglar.
Okay.
Right?
The McDonald's guy.
This boy just like hamburgers. He just like hamburgers. And the people who like hamburgers say this boy is a bad guy.
Yes.
He's a Hamburglar. But if you get to know the Hamburglar, right?
When you'll understand.
Like Scooby-Doo, when I pull the mask off the Hamburglar, it was my mommy. Who could teach hamburger more than my mommy? It's a good guy deep down at the heart of it.
So you're saying that someone's crime person could be another person's freedom fighter?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that until the lion tells the story, the lion will always be the bad guy.
And this is where we segue into our conversation with Kimberly today. Again, we have Kimberly. Pronounce your last name again.
Kutskalis, yes,
right?
Yes.
And like I said, she's a behavioral
therapist.
And because I stuttered, I stuttered over such words, right? But say it again for me.
Well, okay. So I have a master's degree in special education. I have a master's degree in developmental educational psychology. In that, I specialize in behavior therapy.
Yes.
Okay. So I would call myself a parenting coach. I do a lot of family parenting coaching for kids that struggle mm-hmm. With behavior issues and learning issues, as well as I do behavior therapy workshops to train teachers and staff of like Atlantis and Bahamar how to deal with kids that struggle with behavioral issues.
And that's why I wanted to align the earlier conversation to what you actually that you do. There are a number of kids that we write off and say, man, they're just bad.
Yeah. That's just a boy. He'll grow out of it. He'll grow out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Girls are naturally sassy. They just back talk, right? Boys will be rambunctious and challenge the authority always, right?
Yeah.
But your specialty, what you do, you coach parents and teachers,
yep,
especially teachers, principals, yes, deans of students, teachers who have to deal with
kids,
some people say problematic kids.
There are no bad kids. Yeah. They may make poor choices mm-hmm. and sometimes make bad choices, mm-hmm, right? But underneath, You know, kids come out of the womb wanting discipline.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They want to hear, you know, no or yes or, you know, do this or give a good choice, give a poor choice. They usually would pick the better choice. They come out like that. But unfortunately, society has changed so dramatically over the years that we just think a lot of it's cute at first.
Yes.
You know, oh, that's cute. That's my boy.
Isn't he funny? Especially when they're young.
They run around and. Mm. And now you've completely missed some of the milestones for him to understand that that behavior is good and that behavior is not good.
So we especially in the Bahamas, grew up with that, train up a child when he's young, or bend the tree while he's young, or the tree would just grow wild, right?
Yep.
Now I'm dealing with a 13, 14-year-old, right, who's just challenging me every moment. I said, hey, sit down. Hey, I'll say this before you speak. These are the chores you do before you leave, and they keep on challenging me, and I'm going to get ready to write them off. And you saying, as a professional, you are able to coach parents, coach teachers, yes, how yes. to deal with that.
Yeah. I will tell you, if the kid gets to about 13, that means you didn't do some of the things when they were 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that doesn't mean it's a write-off, all right? Little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. So you can take a 13-year-old. You just have to. It'll take a lot longer to get them to understand the boundaries and the discipline. But you have to be consistent, and you have to follow through. You can't tell a child to do something and then go on your phone and start talking to your to Grammy or whatever and forget that you gave a cue or a prompt to a child to do something and not follow through. Because if you do that, they don't trust you anymore. They're out. They're like, you know what? She's not following through. I'm going to do whatever I want. And so as they get older, they start getting sassier. They start getting more, yeah, she's not going to follow through anyway. He's not going to follow through. I know how to manipulate them. Kids triangulate. They manipulate. That is what their job is to us. So we have to stop them dead in their tracks and teach them the right way to become an independent person.
And you've coached staff at the Atlantis and Bahama.
Yes, we do.
Basically similar, but for adults.
Right. Well, and you know, they probably have, it's a little bit easier to train teachers that have control over their classrooms and things like that. At Atlantis and Bahama, they're starting to get kids of different types, you know, neurodivergent kids that do not act the way they're always supposed to, right?
And just like adults on vacation, they're in vacation mode.
They're in vacation mode, yeah. And oh, let them do this, let them do that. And so they're starting to find kids that they are struggling with. Parents aren't very honest because they're there for vacation. They just want to put their kid in a place and hopefully they have fun until they can go have fun. And it's not against them. Maybe they are good disciplinarians when they're not with them. But the reality is some kids, I will tell you that there are almost two types of kids in a way. There are kids that... when they act only out at home, we know that it's most likely because the parents do not have good discipline tactics, right? Mm-hmm. You'll hear about these kids and the mother will be like, oh boy, pain in my butt at home. But then out in the community, they do well. Okay, they've learned. Then there are the kids that actually do have things like ADHD, mild autism, have impulsive behaviors. And that you see across all realms, home, school, and community. And that's when you have to be even stricter. Okay, so yeah, at home, if you figure you get your kid and he's good, but you know that your child is good out in that community and doing it, you can maybe lessen the reins a little bit as long as they're not out of control at home. But you want to make sure that when they step out of your door, because home is like a safety for a lot of kids. So you want to know when they step out of that door that they are going to act their best. And the only way you can do that, especially if a child has already ADHD or some kind of problems like that, you have to make sure that in home, you have to be even extra stricter.
You've been doing it for the last 10,
circa 10 years.
But I mean in terms of coaching and creating a technique, various like that.
No, I actually, I am Bahamian. Mm-hmm. I was schooled in America, in Massachusetts, and I ran alternative programs.
Okay.
So I was a behavior specialist teacher
for
many years, and then I ran alternative programs in the high schools.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I had to turn around kids that had gotten... you know, had gotten past some of the milestones and had mm-hmm. gotten to have some poor behavior. And I had to kind of help them find their way back mm-hmm. to becoming a good independent listener and learner.
Mm-hmm. A texter here that says, people thought it was cute when I used to cuss at 2 years of age. Now I cuss in everyone who is drive bad, right? Mm-hmm. How important is it for adults, right? Like we're focused on children's behavioral development. but how important is it for adults, right, to focus on their behavior and practice? In particular, a cultural practice we have of saying, do as I say and not as I do. Right?
Again, if we were proactive from the start, we wouldn't even be getting to those things. You know, a child, as I said, gets older and is allowed to get away with more, a little bit more, and then they go into society and end up in jail. They end up, you know, on the streets. They end up cussing, getting into fights, getting into issues, having problems. They didn't have that structure, that consistency, those boundaries when they were younger. And you know, there is something called adult ADD, too, that I've had a couple people come to me and they're like, I'm really frustrated. I'm kind of like losing my I'm getting angry sometimes. Mm-hmm. I can't focus. You know, what do I do? And I have to give them strategies to try to reel themselves in. It's about teaching these kids how to reel themselves in and make better choices than poor choices.
Do you find that in many instances you have kids who may have like an integral issue?
Yep.
Maybe autism, yep. A bit of ADHD. But after observation, you realize that the child is actually impacted more by the parent's ADD.
Yeah. Here's where it gets tough. And I always tell everybody that's in a room with me when I do my workshops, I am not here to criticize. Mm-hmm. I am here to help you. Mm. Okay? You're here because you love your kids and you're noticing that there are some issues. And you don't want them to become. You want them to be independent and be able to survive in society when you're gone. So I implore parents, and that's why we take kids at Blairwood at such a young age, because we need to teach them. They don't know. They think that, like, just smacking the hand down or letting the kid hit them to get up, they think that's just cute. We have to teach them the difference between what's cute and when you can be fun mommy and when you need to, or daddy, and then when you need to be disciplinarian mommy and daddy and the child's, mm-hmm. you know, taking advantage of you.
And then those spaces when you think the child is not watching, right? How important is personal
kids are always watching. Kids
behavior,
are modeling. Yeah. Kids are watching everything. Like I just said, something as simple as, let's say a kid in a classroom, you know, a teacher says, crisscross applesauce, and everybody does it but one child. Mm. And you let that one child let it happen, right? Mm-hmm. And you pay attention to all the other and you let that happen, or you sometimes say, oh, they don't listen anyway. No, you can get that child to listen. I can promise you that, but you have to work on it. You let that go once, you let it go twice, next thing you know, that kid is walking all over you and walking all over the room.
And I see that in management, especially when you're managing people.
Yep.
Right? And you say, okay, I'm not going to deal with that face on, I'm just going to ignore it. But you have created strategies now to deal with such.
Yep.
And this Saturday, just like Saturday.
Saturday.
November 9th?
Yes,
November 9th. You're having some kind of seminar,
yes.
Strategies, yep. For people in the workforce who dealing with challenging employees.
Yes.
You're dealing with kids who have ADHD and special needs that they
and
need.
And just parents that
and
don't know
parents.
How to discipline their children, mm-hmm. that think it's cutesy that they do all these funny things. When I have to teach them that, you know, it's cutesy for a moment, but that cutesy is not going to look cutesy when he's 13, 14 years old going mm-hmm. out and doing what we were talking about.
Don't let your child embarrass you.
You know, I went into when I was younger with when my children were younger, I would give them a rule before we go in because I knew they'd want this, want that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're getting one thing and we're walking in. If you cause a problem, I'm leaving the groceries and I'm walking out. Mm-hmm. And I did it. And a mother congratulated me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my kid was crying, but I said, I don't know, let's go. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you mm-hmm. are not going to do this because I'm just creating bad behavior. And then there's also the other side where a parent doesn't cue the kid and just hits the kid or something or grabs him and says, we're out of here. The kid has no idea what they did wrong. You have to cue the kid. So I would say, you know, honey, put that down now or we're leaving the store. And then they know, oh, well, my mom means business. I'm going to have to leave the store. I might as well stay because I still get my one thing, you know, at the end. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I won't get anything.
So how can parents and teachers and any businesses participate inside the seminar you're having?
Okay, so this started out I moved back here 18 years ago. I did workshops for teachers. I did workshops for parents. But we solidified it a little more, especially when we started doing it for Atlantis and Bahamar. Two times a year, we do it. We started primarily for just parents and some other educators that we were connected with outside of Blairwood. And we are opening up this Saturday one to some other educators and some other parents and people in the community that really realize they may need a little bit of help. Mm-hmm. Again, not here to judge. It's here to give you strategies. It's here to help you. Because I've had parents come back and say, wow, I felt out of control. And after doing some of these strategies, we're not going to, you know, cure it all in one day. But I'm going to give you strategies. I'm going to give you a bag of tricks to use. And once you start disciplining even one or two behaviors, you will see how easy it falls into place. So I'm here to just give some strategies to guide them into how to create a well-adjusted child. And again, that's for maybe the quote-unquote neurotypical child, but even the neurodivergent. You know, we get told that a lot of our students, I'll toot our own horn, that they'll go, our students will go to a function, right? And I will get told by many, many people that, wow, we had 12 schools there. Your kids were the best behaved. Mm. And we're the ones that have the kids that struggle,
yeah,
that are constantly fidgeting, that are moving about, have some behaviors. And we're the ones that have, they know, because my whole staff is trained and they know when they can be happy and outgoing and run and play around the field and when they need to sit in their seat and do their work.
So at this workshop, what do I need to bring? Do I bring my own pencil and pen? Will you help? Like,
we usually give out the pens and, excuse me, mm-hmm. It's a PowerPoint, and we will also have some teachers there who will probably do a skit and act out, you know, mm-hmm. because it, you know, it's one thing to just sit there and tell someone, but we have to also have questions, answers, and my teachers will do a little skit to show you how to handle some behaviors. Mm-hmm. And we will have a PowerPoint, and we will have either QR code or we'll have the actual written material for you. So okay. You can take it home with you.
And what time does this
11 a.m., 11 to 1, 11, 2 hours.
Only 2 hours.
Only That's 2 hours. Easy. It's a little bit of a, you know, a precursor. Because after that, if your child is really struggling, you can come talk to us. I have a separate kind of business outside of Blairwood where I go into homes, kind of like the Nanny 911 that we used to hear back in the day, mm-hmm. Go into homes and help parents. I've hidden behind bars and stools and hidden behind curtains and kind of watch the dynamics of what is going on. And then I kind of pop out and I teach the child, I may give the child a discipline tactic, and I'll give the parents some cues into what they could have done differently or what they did correctly.
Okay, so this is Saturday. This Saturday
coming? Saturday, yes.
And it's going to be at St. Anne's School inside the auditorium?
Yes. Auditorium there? St. Anne's Hall, yes.
And you say it's 11 to
1? 11 to 1.
Easy 2 hours?
An easy 2 hours.
And it's amazing that you have it in a community, which in a city, so they have their own challenges, right, with young kids. For people who teach at-risk youth,
yep.
Should they come and attend this?
100%. I've talked to many people, but I have no problem going out and helping other people. We need to regroup as a culture. Societies change across the world. It's not just in the Bahamas, right? We've become loosey-goosey, lackadaisical. The old ways worked a bit, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean necessarily the switch stick on the front lawn. That's mm-hmm. not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my dad. He was very strict. Kim, come eat your dinner. You don't eat your dinner, you go to your room. Mm. That's it, right? Now we're kind of like, oh, what do you want to eat? You know, oh, would you like this? Would you like that? And you know what? That's okay once the children have become older and you've laid the ground rules down. And they know and they have discipline and they understand. They understand boundaries. And believe it or not, we forget to teach our kids, say please, say thank you. It is so important. They learn that so that they can then do that with other people. I mean, I have so many people that have come up and been like, wow, your students are very polite. I'm like, because they're not allowed to. They are told to say please and thank you and may I. Mm-hmm. So we have to go back to some of those
So in short, days. You said kids need discipline?
Yes, they do, 100%. You what do you do every day? You work, right, for mm-hmm. a paycheck at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. There's no difference in a child working every day for whatever his rewards are. Things need to be earned. And it's not bribing. It's just if it flows naturally, like if, let's say a kid acts out and then the mom just takes him to Wendy's. Mm-hmm. Why should that kid act out and then get to go to Wendy's?
Yeah.
It should be like, okay, you have a good day today, honey. We'll think about Wendy's at the end of the day. Everything should kind of be earned without making it look like it's being earned. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I like it. How do people who are listening and are interested and say, I need to take this last minute and join your, how do they get in contact with you?
Okay, we have limited spaces. So, you know, I'm putting this out there. And if we have enough interest and we cannot get you in on that Saturday, We'll do it again in January. Mm-hmm. So, but call Blairwood Academy at 242-698-3329 and mention the workshop, or you can email blairwoodacademy@gmail.com.
Yes. Oh, some people just might just want to know, like, details on what is it that you are doing so they can make an appointment for the next time. I'm not sure if you do one-on-one.
Oh, we do. I do all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we at Blairwood, we've had to evolve over the years, and we are very flexible, and we've created out of a kid coming, we've created an early intervention program. Another child, we created a tertiary program. We are trying in this community just to help the Bahamian people. Mm-hmm. That is all we are trying to do. And we are always open for that. So, yeah, I do one-on-one. I do family therapy. Anything to help get your child and your family back on track, because a child in need is a family in need. Just because your child has an issue does not, it's affecting your whole family. It always does.
Okay, we're speaking to, let me see if I can pronounce his word. I can just say behavior therapist. Say that behavior.
See? Kimberly Kouskalis?
Yes, you got it.
That's our QC educational. Pronounce the last name again.
Kouskalis.
Kouskalis.
Yes.
Kouskalis.
Kimberly Bethel was a maiden Kouskalis. Name, but, you know, I had to go.
Oh, you said Bethel?
Yeah, that was a Bethel.
That's Kimberly Bethel, man.
Kim Bethel one time. And
listen,
I
was, Mr. Kouskalis, we good.
Kouskalis.
Bethel Kouskalis. Yeah, yes, man.
Yes, she's the director of Blairwood Academy. They're having a seminar workshop on Saturday. That's Saturday, November 9th at St. Anne's School. That's starting at 11 o'clock, correct?
Yes.
11 until 1. And in case you're interested, give me that phone number again.
698-3329.
Yes. And Kimberly and her team was going to be giving some tips on
behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And to create well-adjusted children.
I appreciate all of that. You see me stutter.
I've been doing it too long not to have it.
When I was younger.
You was difficult?
Probably. More than likely.
You're difficult now.
Absolutely.
You did it.
But between, it was not just QC education, right? It was a social system where my mother basically let it be known, I want these set to talk different. So my mother used to pinch us on the ear. Mm. Home. Where's this home?
Yep.
It's home.
Yep.
Home.
Ain't home?
Right. It's home. And it's home. Right? But it wasn't until I was older that I realized, like, I could switch.
Yeah.
Which is what Mrs. Kouskalis is talking about, right? So you're creating an environment not where you're punishing your children for speaking what we call standard Bahamian English, mm-hmm. but you're showing them that, look, it's going to be a benefit to you to understand when it's best to apply Bahamian English. Like I tell you, young people can't be going on the street talking about, can I buy 2 weeds, please?
Weeds plural already.
Right. You see what I'm saying? Because already they'll be identified. And then, unfortunately, hopefully, the young man or woman will say, please go home to your bed because you do not belong out here. Mm. Thank you very much. Now go home. Just like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break right here. Thank you very much, Kim, for joining us.
Thank you.
Give us the details one more time before you go.
Okay. Workshop, behavior therapy, parenting coaching workshop on Saturday, November 9th at St. Anne's Hall from 11 to 1. And you can reach out to blairwoodacademy@gmail.com or 698-3329.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Guardian Radio AM. We'll be right back.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield, and every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, one drawing will take place It's that simple.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri, and I am here with Aaron Green as we talk about the U.S. election. I'm not sure why Bahamians are so interested in U.S. elections, particularly when our system is different. You know, we have a constitutional monarchy, and our democracy is different, right? Also, that republic system instead... what the U.S. has, Bahamians have been crying for it, even though they don't even understand it. I think just they just want more tears in our political system, you know, this Westminster system.
So you think the affiliation with U.S. politics and system of governance is a yearning for a more expansive and evolved
politics? That's all we want politics. We just want to expand to expand
I think
what it is now.
It's also an indicator that geography and culture trump politics.
But I don't necessarily, yes, I agree with that. But I don't necessarily believe that Bahamians understand this the federal system.
They don't have to understand the federal system, though, to imagine themselves American. First of all, because many Americans don't understand the federal system.
That's true.
Either.
And they don't know their own geography, their own history.
They still live in and work in, right?
Yes.
But I think there's a cultural affinity, right? I want to say it supersedes politics, right? Like nationality is a construct. That construct is not stronger or realer than genealogy or culture, right? And so like just a moment in time, like the contract shifts the nature of the relationship of the Bahamas and the U.S. going forward. Because now, I mean, I get a multitude of relatives by blood, by DNA, that are American citizens that have been in America for decades, right? And then I get some recent 10 years, 5 years. I get siblings who are American citizens, and they're my sibling by blood, right? And so that trumps, pun intended.
I see you're using Trump a lot.
Politics.
Not segueing, but we like I said, we're talking U.S. politics and how it impacts us in the Bahamas. Recently, it has been circulating in social media that the PLP had a conclave in Bimini.
Did you say Bermuda?
Not the Bermuda thing is similar, and I'm going to hint towards that too, because the Bermuda.
Oh no, guys! When you said Bermuda, I just saw it.
The Bermuda trip by the government and by extension the PLP party caused a fiasco where people wanted to know who paid for it. And at the end, we had to admit, the PLP had to admit that it's their bill and that they shouldn't have gone on the government's dime. And they apparently paid, they definitely paid one, like partial payment. And the second one, they said they paid, but we didn't have any type of information on when, where, how much did they pay. It was just talk. Recently, they went to a conclave in Bimini. And I'm trying to find out, was this a government conclave, or was this a political conclave? Last week, we spoke about the what the constituency money is used for. We provided a list. And one of the things that the list said, or the act said, you cannot use a constituency fund for political
marketing activities
in general.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to say, what happened in Bimini? Was this a political thing, or was this cabinet, even though they had the senators and everything else down there, and
right.
people, and should a narrative be told to the nation? Say, so by the way, the cabinet is moving to Bimini. By the way, the Senate is going to Bimini, because it's a secret. If it's a secret, that means it's a political rally per thing, training for the PLP. So I accept it. It's a PLP thing. But who paid for this? And should they come to us and explain what happened?
Right. And was there the practice of, well, we have in a meeting, but no, sorry. We have organized our resources so that we, a large group of government ministers and state actors, including senators who may be chairman, whatever, that we have organized our agenda so that we can all go down at the same time to facilitate government business, right? In the daytime. And when we knock off, since we all here one time, we're gonna have party activities as well. If that is the case, right, then I expect as a citizen, what should be presented to the public is a detailed invoice of the cost for the government business and a detailed list of party activities, right? So that even if you don't feel the need to disclose how much money your party spent on your party activities, we could juxtapose the list of activities to the invoice for government business to ensure that no government resources were expended for party initiatives and activities.
Were you aware that members of the Progressive Liberal Party / government went to Bimini to have a seminar?
No.
If it was the government, which is different from the PLP party, mm-hmm. right? If they had officials, cabinet ministers, who ventured for a training, seminar, whatever it is, meeting, a caucus, would you have liked to know that they went to Bimini, whatever family island, as a group? Are they planning to go as a group?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you, in terms of transparency, would you like to know how much it would cost in terms of if they had to rent a jet?
Like government, the government side?
The government side.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Rent a jet, hotel room, how long they stayed, will stay
and
there.
And most of all, because what I would like to know is the amount spent on this activity commensurate with the amount needed to buy a fire truck?
If it's the same amount of money,
they should have bought the fire truck and done all the meetings via Zoom. Like how the school students have
or
to
have
do
their
it.
Meeting here. Because one of the considered transportation when they reach and
housing,
you know, food.
I mean, beverage. how many golf carts in Bimini?
How many? Look where you're going. They have some nice cars there too.
Yeah, but how many are available at any time given you have this massive tourism project called Resorts World?
Mm.
How much of that inventory on Bimini would be available for? See, that's the next thing, right? How much of your the impact of your presence on the island for normal and ordinary activity, right? If I was expecting to have five go-karts or three cars available to me and my guests, my tourist guests,
yeah.
But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, no, PLP and Tan, you can't get none of them. I got to use all of them, right?
Yeah.
Like how does it impact what is ordinarily happening in Bimini, and is that impact detrimental? Is the amount of money that you're injecting into Bimini worth it, right, for that negative impact to other elements? And then again, if it's government money, you can't tabulate that, mm-hmm. right? Like that, like saying that you injecting money into Bimini by hosting your meeting in Bimini. No, that don't. You talking foolishness to me now.
Mm-hmm.
You find other ways to inject money into Bimini. Go,
and especially in atmosphere where Bimini was begging for a fire truck the other day, so our airport closed, and you're saying you're injecting into the economy and they have needs, which residents say, no, we prefer this first. These are the things we need to survive after you leave,
mm-hmm.
right? The quick money, we could pause on that.
Mm-hmm.
We could pause on that. We need infrastructure and investment instead of these, everyone went to a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but my point is, have you heard anything about it yet?
I mean, I'm not a peep.
Not a peep.
Not a word.
Not even from the opposition?
I mean, not even on BahamasUncensored.com. Nah, I mean, sometimes it just flash up on my news
feed. Mind you, BahamasUncensored.com has more news than BIS about the government.
And ZNS.
Than ZNS. If you want news about this government and what they're doing, you go to BahamasUncensored.com, Facebook group. And
No, they get their own website. They big time. Website? I think so.
But yeah, my point is they have access to things that we in the Bahamas residents do not have access. And the government refused to give us the information.
Mm-hmm.
But the people in my Bahamas and censored, they're talented. They have access to every pertinent information.
Thank God for biggity people.
Yeah, thank God.
Here's another question for biggity people. If Guy Fawkes is such a bad guy, right?
Yes.
Why are U.S. elections held on Guy Fawkes Day?
You think they purposely put it on that Guy Fawkes Day or just Guy Fawkes Day happened to fall on their election day?
I mean, now I have to go do some work and research and to figure out why. See, like you could go and read all the books you want about American history, but you really want to understand America, you got to find a book called Made in America by Bill Bryson.
What's that about?
About America, how America was made.
So they mention capitalism and slavery and things like
that? I mean, it's fascinating to go into, there's a whole chapter on town names, you know, like how we have, Dead Cat Alley?
Yeah.
And things like that. I wanted to say the other one, Basketball Alley. Yeah, that one.
What Basketball Alley?
I didn't want to say the full name. You're supposed to guess.
I don't know no Basketball Alley is. Or Balls Alley?
That's what I didn't want to say out loud.
But that's the name of it.
I just saying.
The German name Balls.
You could say it. I can't say it. The point is.
Why can't you say it? That's the name of the street.
But I don't need to anymore because you said it.
But twice now.
I know. So I definitely don't need to say it no more, right?
Balls Alley.
The point is that sometimes you got to go deeper than the traditional history books to find the answers. But if Guy Fawkes was such a bad guy, why are U.S. elections held on Guy Fawkes Day?
I want to know why.
Because Guy Fawkes Day came first, eh?
Yes. Didn't it? But why we as Bahamians still celebrate?
That's what is getting me. Because, like, you don't understand.
I'm excited.
You are the guy. Listen, just, dear Bahamians, maybe nobody has told you this yet, but in Guy Fawkes Day, technically, we are Guy Fawkes. Every time they say, who can play Guy Fawkes? It's us. That's why I say if we're going to celebrate Guy Fawkes Day, then let's acknowledge that we are the guy and then celebrate it the way we're supposed to celebrate it.
Do you believe Bahamians understand or appreciate that Guy Fawkes, in quotes, is us challenging the government that things need to change? And if things don't change, remember when, that was the Reverend guy who said he's going to burn down the House of Assembly?
No, listen.
What he said?
The independence celebrations church service in 2003, Bishop Samuel Green, who was also a member of the Constitutional Reform Committee, which is a part of the reason why I think he was participating in the event, got up and said that if Parliament enacts same-sex marriage, he'll be the next Guy Fawkes, right? That moment, right, caused the formation of the Rainbow Alliance of the Bahamas, the advocacy group. Years later, I sat with Bishop Samuel Green in an interview conducted by Controversy TV. The interview was so controversial, they didn't air it. Why was it controversial? I think it was controversial because Bishop Green did not say the things that the host expected him to say. The first thing he did was he apologized. He said, listen, if what I've been told is true, let me apologize because my statement was not directed at the LGBT community at all. I did not intend to instill or evoke fear in the hearts of Bahamians or those Bahamians. He said that my statement was to the parliament specifically about enacting same-sex marriage. Now, I was doing the same research that I imagined that they were doing as a part of this committee, right? And I imagined, because I was not a part of the committee, what Samuel Green learned in that process was that the ban on same-sex marriage that exists in ordinary legislation today is regarded as discrimination. The ban on same-sex marriage is discriminatory. However, the state is allowed to discriminate in matters related to marriage. Parliament can change the law at any time. In the same way, they don't ever have to change the law if they don't want to. Because that discrimination, that decision, that provision in law is protected by the Constitution. So if Erin Green went to the court and said, I want to get married, and when I went to the registrar's office, they refused to initiate the process for me to marry a woman, the courts can say, Ms. Green, it is discrimination, but the courts are allowed to discriminate. Pause. So what Bishop Green was saying was, if Parliament in its power decides to enact same-sex marriage, because they could do it tomorrow if they want to, I will be the next Guy Fawkes and blow up Parliament. That's what happened.
All that was a sea of words, Erin.
It's important. our lives are a sea of words.
That's like pontificating a lot.
And
I'm just saying, that's a lot of words. Go ahead.
I'm glad this is Guy Fawkes Day. I'm so happy it's Guy Fawkes Day. Sometimes, Mr. Newry, you need to hear the words to understand what is happening around you. Otherwise, you in a play and everybody directing the parts. And all you know is these people talking words and I don't know what they're saying.
Yes. A lot of Bohemians are saying that this U.S. election is about what you spiritually believe in. Right, they throwed the idea that the Democrats, for some reason, want to kill babies. They throwed that the Democrats are having a gay agenda. They want all the world become gay. Then the Democrats showed that the Republicans have this 1952. I don't remember. I didn't pay attention to it. Right, some kind of agenda to control people's bodies and to discriminate against black people. I didn't realize that race was still so important in U.S. election, right? That they conjure up emotions that they say that black Americans need to vote as a bloc for the safety and the survival of black people. That women have to vote as a bloc for the survival of womanhood or they'll be destroyed, right? A lot of even motive words in terms of spinning. Is that something that will happen in our election?
Of course, it happens all the time.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, right? It happens all the time.
I'm just saying, but why? Like, I'm going to give you this point. Respond to this. No celebrity star can tell me who to vote for. I find it offensive that if you bring a celebrity who I have as entertainment, who I expect to be slacking their lives, right? Because that's my entertainment, can tell me that you should vote for this person because I get offended. I say, no, don't tell me that. You vote for whoever you want. You can say who you're voting for, but don't guilt me, right? I look as guilt as obia. You're trying to get me scared. That fear-mongering thing has kept me anxious. I say, no, if you're putting fear into me. And I told the PLP and AFNM does it too.
Yeah, guilt is a tool that can shape and change behavior.
I don't like
just like shame.
I don't like getting shame either.
Right, absolutely. Nobody likes being shamed, especially when you realize it is for somebody else's agenda. Like somebody is creating an environment, right, in which they expect you to feel and then respond in particular ways. And nobody likes to feel like that either.
So who are you voting for, Ms. Harris or Mr. Trump?
I can't vote.
What do you mean you can't vote?
I'm not an American.
Bohemians got to be able to vote because we are vested in this election.
See, now this is it. We vested in the election, but we can't vote. We talk about ontological Americanness, right? Where you're so consumed by American culture, language, music, that you forget that you're not American. You forget that you can't even vote in this election as vested as you are in it, right? We are vested, right? Like the results have real impact on us, but we're not organizing ourselves in ways that suggested we realize what our actual relationship with the U.S. is.
How can we as, not necessarily the government, but we as Bohemian people lobby or promote our Bohemian agenda?
You mean to the U.S.?
To the U.S.
What do you mean? How we could do it?
How can we do it?
You first of all, you start a lobby group at home. But more importantly, you need to connect with key constituents of Bahamians in the U.S., right? So you figure out who is in the diaspora and who has greatest proximity to decision-making in the areas that they're in, right? And then you identify the issues that are on the table and whether the issue itself has the same impact on Bahamians at home as it does on in on Bahamians in that particular jurisdiction. And if your issues and positions align, then you're good to go. So you start an organization here, you connect with Bahamians in America or Americans of Bahamian descent, and you begin to organize on in both territories.
Recently, Mr. Trump, not like how the Americans call everybody by their first name and thing. Mr. Trump made some, I would use the word disparaging, not my word, remarks against a particular community, the Haitian community.
Mm-hmm.
They have rallied up. I'm not sure if the people who are speaking can vote. Can that happen in the Bahamas? A demographic Haitian Bahamians to come and speak out and say, well, you said something disparaging about our community in Haiti, my homeland. Therefore, I can vote against you. Are we conservative in the Bahamas? Would we tolerate such? Is it because America has a different system that they can embrace such lobbying and say, okay, yeah, you speak?
Can Bahamians of Haitian descent lobby a Bahamian government to make policies and decisions that are beneficial to Bahamians of Haitian descent in the Bahamas, Haitians in the Bahamas, Haitians on the ground? Can Bahamians of Haitian descent lobby the Bahamian government to take particular positions in their engagement with the U.S. government? For instance, the Lily Pad Plan, the 2022 Summit of America's Immigration Policy, right, that the Bahamas government did not sign onto. A group of Bahamians of Haitian descent should be able to lobby both the Bahamian government and the U.S. government from their location in the Bahamas on issues affecting Bahamians of Haitian descent and Haitians generally. What's the problem with that? Now, culturally, what you're going to find is that Bahamians who are neophytes in advocacy at this level compared to Haiti that advocated for its own freedom against European superpowers, right? We may feel a lot, you know, we may feel trepidatious, like, why are you lobbying for Haiti and you can't see Bahamians have issues? You need to pledge your allegiance to the Bahamas by advocating for Bahamian issues, right?
Is there space for Haitian Bahamian or just Bahamian?
Of course there's space for Haitian Bahamian. Why could there be space for Greek Bahamians and space for Italian Bahamians and space for Jewish Bahamians and space for Indian Bahamians and not space for Haitian Bahamians? Why?
Because those other groups
have lighter skin?
No, they're small. They're so minute you don't see them. But that Haitian Bahamian space is a big space. Can we have a space for them? A little Haiti, a Haitian bloc, say okay, that we are voting as a grouping for member of parliament in a particular area.
They're small in population compared to the Haitian descent population. But what are they in terms of economic input?
Okay.
Or economic capacity or prowess.
I see we have a number of texts. I want you to read the text. I just want to read this all so that the U.S. elections are held on the first Tuesday. The U.S. election is held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, after the four-year path.
So it's just lucky.
Just by luck.
That it falls on Guy Fawkes.
By coincidence.
With Trump.
Yeah.
Mr. Grab'em by the...
But who knows? If you're a conspiracy theorist, you believe people play the number math centuries before and say, this mm-hmm. is how...
You mean like happen. How May 10th? May 10th? 10-10, the Bible 10?
Yeah, that's
I don't know what... Okay. Counting the numbers?
You get ready to read the text. Let me read this. Join the Nassau Guardian as we celebrate our milestone 180th anniversary on November 23rd. Yes, that's November 23rd, 2024, beginning Monday, November 4th. So on Monday, November 4th, and every day this week, we feature a blast from the past, highlighting pages from the oldest and most respected newspaper of record over the past 18 decades. If you come to the front in the lobby, all kind of newspaper clippings.
Archival clippings, yeah,
all the way to 1919, I saw. Anyway, one
come out and see if you see a picture of your Grammy gallivanting in the newspaper at the fair.
Yeah, wonderful snapshots of Bahamas transitioning from abolition of slavery to a period of internal self-governance and independence and into the 21st century. Surprise keepsakes for history buffs or anyone who just loves the Bahamas. Do you have the text ready now?
Yeah, man, I have the text.
I have the text because I see a caller. Do you want to go to the caller first?
Go to the caller first, yeah.
Okay, Kermit, pass the caller through. Hello, caller. How are you doing? Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And, of course, Aaron Green is with me. As we talk loosely about the U.S. election that's happening today, who are you voting for? And talking about and talking about the Bahamas and how we how juxtaposed to that. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. Morning, Nui.
Morning.
Aaron, you opened up the door to it, and this is the final, this is the overall synopsis of this election. If Trump wins this election, what would his percentage be for winning U.S. election?
Ooh.
Can anybody do? Quick math?
Two out of three, right? 66.6.
Yeah, so what's the percentage on that?
66.667.
That's two out of three.
Okay. 666. So in the Bible, Revelation says the number of the beast, Antichrist, who walks the earth, 666, brings all of the powers together, the eagle, the dragon, the bear, and the last one, which is man, which is represented as the transgender.
Okay.
And this will be the last. So you opened the door, Aaron.
Did I open the door?
Yes, you did.
What put the eagle and the lion and the bear?
Yes, in the Revelation, the eagle is America, the lion.
Who said the eagle is America, though?
Well, you know, scholars.
I don't believe them. They ain't from Africa. They are scholars.
I'm just saying the symbolism lines up to what everybody, what you guys are saying.
What the Chikchani does? What does the Chikchani do in the prophecy? Because if it don't have a Chikchani in it, does it really apply to me?
And does the prophecy mention Africa? Because everything starts and ends there. And if it doesn't mention us, that means that don't make no sense.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Okay, caller, just quickly, very, very quickly. Here's the question. Does Trump's hyperbolic language distort the truth in some of his statements?
So I wanted to call early on Dwight's show. We are playing this as a policy election, but it's really a motive election. All of the decisions are already made. The CEO for Blackstone, investments. Michael Saylor said, it doesn't matter who wins the election. All of the decisions are already made for that.
I know a Bahamian who said that. I know a Bahamian who said that. Thank you very much, caller. I mean, I know that's not a Bahamian who said that, but I know a Bahamian who said that. Thank you.
You're doing a great job. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, caller.
We have another caller there? Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
30 seconds, caller.
Yeah, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. You have 30 seconds.
All right. So, I listened to the previous caller speaking about the eagle, the lion, and the bear.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I thought I've said the dragon, the eagle, the dragon and the bear, and the eagle is not necessarily represent America. That's also a symbol from ancient Rome.
Okay.
But who am I? You know.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Interesting. I didn't know Bahamians believe in those conspiracy theories about.
No, pause. Make a distinction. Don't call it a conspiracy theory.
You don't believe it's a conspiracy theory?
No, I didn't say that. I said don't call it a conspiracy
theory. What do you call
it? Because people would call it a biblical prophecy. Like if you going, right? That's what they were going to call it.
Crazy people. Man.
I don't want you to say that I call it a conspiracy
theory. Just run through these texts. Because all that's craziness.
Okay, first text. And government business can't airy-fairy. No identifiable objective. We check in on constituents. You don't need the entire cabinet for that. Yes. Like what they did in Bimini. Many of these travel expenses can be saved with a Zoom account. Aaron, friends, guests, Howard Grant, I found the problem. Possibly a Russian TV show that watches humans. Okay, dear Texter. I thought you was going to talk about how it's been determined that they think the Chinese operatives hacked Trump and Vance's phones and some of Harris's election workers' phones. I thought that's what that text was talking about. Text them. I have to read that once we get off the air. Mr. Nuri, what's the most ridiculous thing you heard Trump say?
He said a lot of ridiculous things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely. I think I didn't think he could trump the 2020 election, mm-hmm. but some of the things he said this year, I can't even say on the radio.
That's it?
Yeah, yeah.
Americans will vote for who they want. Whoever becomes the next president of the United States, to say good luck to them.